Well, hello everybody, and welcome to the teleclass tonight, which is Leverage Your Content. I'm Angela Anoff, and I'm a professional organiser, been at it 11 years now, very happily training and mentoring organisers as well. And I have a little bit of exciting news to share. It's not exactly secret, but it's not out in the open yet either, that I was asked to speak for the APO conference, which is in August. And I'm really excited because I was asked to be the closing keynote speaker. So, yay. Now, I'm really looking forward even more so to the conference in August, and I think it's going to be a good one from what I can tell. So make sure you put that in your calendar to come and enjoy the conference, and of course I would love to see you there myself. So about tonight's topic, leveraging your content, I guess me speaking at the conference, now that I think of it, is an example of me leveraging my content. All the stuff that I've built up over years and you know, use for training purposes and writing and working with clients as well as working with organisers and my mentees, that all comes together in a library of, you know, stuff that you've built up over the time. And, you know, you could spend hours and hours writing new content, and I encourage you to do that whenever you can, but don't forget your original content, the stuff you've already got, either already written, already recorded in some way, or already locked away in your brain, that's really useful and really can help you get the word out about your service. It helps reach people if you can repurpose even the same words, repurpose them into different formats that people will be able to access. And, you know, you'll build a following, a tribe, as they say, of really true believers, people who want to share your stuff, want to read what you say, want to book you, and so on. So you become known for something. You become known as the expert in your field, and you also, by sharing your content over and over again in various formats, you are shown to be consistent and to stand for something. So you really get sort of embedded into people's minds and into your industry as an expert, someone who knows something about a particular field. So I hope you're all excited to leverage your content. The first step, I guess, I should, of course, have said, you will be hearing code words as usual. I'll let you know what to do with them at the end. For now, just write down the three code words that I'll share, and they will turn magically into certificates that get emailed to you that you can use for your accreditation down the line. Okay, so how do you... What's the first step in this leveraging your content? And the first step, I guess, is to gather the content and the ideas behind you that are going to get you to the content. And it, of course, it has to be content worth sharing. It has to be something people will actually want to read, listen to, work with, etc. And it has to be the right kind of content. It has to be your own philosophy, your own, you know, your own systems, your own beliefs about organising. It's no use just rehashing what other organisers say if you don't really work that way or you don't believe what they're saying. Don't share tips that you don't believe in, because that's not going to ring true when you're working one-on-one with a client either. Of course, you know, it's all about the target market. So that's why you've got to say stuff worth hearing, that say stuff that your client or your potential client would want to hear from you. And it doesn't always have to be new, fresh, exciting content. It can be the basics. As long as they're delivered in a way that's true to you and your business, that can be really valuable. Now, your wisdom is valuable and your voice is unique. So, you know, you might actually be saying the exact same tip as another organizer, but you'll deliver it in your way. You know, whether that's more casual or whether it's more evangelistic even, you know, you'll have your own slant on things and your own beliefs. So don't be afraid to share what you believe, even if other people are sharing the same stuff, and even if it's completely different to what anybody else is saying. Be true to you and it'll work really well. So how do you get this content? Where does it come from? Well, you can start with a brain dump. You know, everything that you know about a certain topic, get it down on paper somehow, even if it's just a few keywords that you that will trigger a tip or a rule that you've made up, or you know, some other thing that you want to share with people. Just try to get all your ideas down on paper. And believe me, when you think you're finished, don't worry, more ideas will come the next day as well. If you find it hard to get going with the brain dump and with some brainstorming, have a look in the Professional Organisers Edge resources. There's a document called 260 Organising Blog Topics. In there, why they're 260? Because you could blog 5 days a week for a whole year, and that would be 260 topics. So, of course, not all of those are going to suit you, but they might give you some ideas about what would suit you and your target market. So have a look at that for some ideas. If you want to gather more ideas, it's a good idea to have a look at what other people are doing. And, of course, I don't mean go and pinch their ideas, but if you go to a podcast, by an organising podcast, and you don't even have to listen to the whole podcast, just have a read of some of the titles that are out there, and it might trigger some ideas for you. Have a look at what you're doing in your own home. You know, if the way you organise your pantry works for you, there's going to be some topics there, some ideas that you could share with people that builds up some content for you to share from your own experiences. Look at magazines. What are the magazines printing as far as tips and so on go? Sometimes I look at, for instance, a Home Beautiful magazine, and I'm absolutely disgusted by the level of the quality of the tips that they're putting out there. They're obviously written by people who aren't even organised. So that might inspire you. You know, what are people doing wrong that you could put right? A really good source of content is the questions that people ask you. So whether that's people you meet in the street, you know, your own family and friends, or your clients, there'll be questions that people ask you over and over again, like, well, you know, shouldn't you just chuck it out? Why can't people just chuck it out, you know? There's an interesting topic that you could build some content around. Ask on your social media sites, you know, ask what people want to know about, and they'll soon tell you. And if you're struggling with all of these wonderful ideas, for a system that will help you to sort of record them all, mind mapping might help. Because it's a way to categorise things without being too stringent, without being too list-focused. Nothing wrong with lists, I love them, but in a mind map you could sort of grow an idea and keep growing it and keep growing it so that you drill down. And I'll give you an example soon of a topic that really can, you can get a lot from. So a big broad topic like how to organize your wardrobe can deliver so many different ideas just from that. And I would encourage you in the gathering content portion of this class to think about how much time you want to devote to developing this content. Now, I talk a lot about writing content because that's what I'm comfortable with. But you might not be comfortable with writing. You might prefer voice recording or creating pictures with quotes on or little videos, how-to things. Whatever that is for you, whatever developing content is for you, do more of it. But think about how much time each week you're going to devote to it. So in a business sense, you know, this is the product development, really. And some of the product is going to be sold, some of it's going to be used for marketing, and so on. Have a think. And I would say, if you can spare 2 hours a week, that should be about enough. Even if you can only spare 2 hours a month, I guarantee there's some really effective content writing that you can do and lots of really good ways to leverage it. And I'll tell you about my own experience soon. That brings us to the very first code word, which is basket. So it's almost like you have a basket and you're gathering all your ideas and throwing them into the basket, just like you would with a client collecting up things that are strewn around the house. Basket. Okay, any questions at this point?
No.
Nope? Okay. Let's get on to this next bit, which is, I like this exercise here, and I mentioned a topic just a while ago, how to organise your wardrobe. I bet everybody that listens to this class will have at least 5 tips that they could share with someone about organising a wardrobe, at least 5. And you could probably, if you had a couple of hours, sit down and write a whole article about it. So imagine that's what you're doing. It's a pretty run-of-the-mill topic. And if you don't work with wardrobes, insert another common thing. Maybe it's filing. Maybe it's, you know, some other time management thing. Maybe it's kids' rooms, whatever you like. Try and pick a broad enough subject that you can really develop a whole lot of ideas from it. So let's assume that you could come up with an article that was how to organise your wardrobe. From that one article, I'm going to list a whole lot of things that could be developed from it. And these are in no particular order. You could have a workshop. You could run a 2-hour workshop on how to organise your wardrobe, no problem at all. You could have a week's worth of blog posts. So, you know, a couple of paragraphs each and a photo. There you've got a week's worth of blog posts, at least, I would suggest. You could create a checklist. A checklist of, you know, the things that every organised wardrobe needs. You could write a magazine article, something that would easily fall into, you know, Home Beautiful with some lovely photos or, you know, an online magazine. You could do a radio talk, some talk back with some, you know, people calling in to chat about their messy wardrobes, how to organise those. You could dial in when they're talking about wardrobes to talk about them. You could have a TV spot, and a shout out to one of our new members, Christina Duke, who was on TV again this week, doing exactly that, sharing about how to be organised. I don't know if today's topic was the wardrobe, but she's done it before. You could create a video series that goes up onto YouTube, that's there for everybody to log into and see any old time, or one that you have control over that gets delivered to people who've paid for that series. You could have a newsletter topic, something that goes out to your readers, your potential clients, a little taster of what, you know, what you can do in a wardrobe, what your ideas about an organized wardrobe are. A good way to do that is have most of the article or some of the article in the newsletter, but if they want to keep reading for the really juicy bits, they've got to click through to your blog. And that means you're leveraging that content again because you've got people clicking onto your website, which is good for your Google ranking, of course. You could create a 5-week boot camp and get people signed up to do that. You could have a step-by-step email program, you know, a how-to, where you walk people through your how to organize a wardrobe program that's delivered to them by email. Of course, you could have a one-on-one session in person in that person's actual wardrobe, and of course, that's what most of us know and do on a regular basis. You could have a whole month's worth of social media posts. So, you know, Facebook posts, Instagram photos of organized wardrobes, you know, a Pinterest links to your blog articles or photos with quotes, etc. You could have a collaboration with a stylist so that you're organising the wardrobe and she's organising the clothes that go into the wardrobe. You could write a book. No reason you couldn't be the next Marie Kondo on the wardrobe scene. You could, you know, write product reviews and recommendations. You could get yourself a gig with people who, a company that, you know, installs wardrobes, being their spokesperson because you've recommended some products that they happen to have. You could do some visual stuff, you know, a poster, or an image that goes viral with your tips on that image. And then there's your business card, the everyday things that you might even take for granted. You could use those tips on your business card or in your email signature. So from that 1 2-hour session writing an article about something as generic as organising your wardrobe, you've got all those ideas of how to use it. So you would, for instance, if you wrote one article, to get that month's worth of social media posts, you'd pull out the single sentences. You know, social media's got to be quick and to the point. You'd just pull out single sentences or questions that come up through your article. What would you do? What do you find is the you know, the best solution for this? Do you hang or fold your jumpers? That kind of thing. So, and blog posts don't have to be long. They don't have to be essays. They don't have to be, you know, researched so that, you know, you could get a master's in wardrobe organising. They just need to be informative, chatty, you know, something that somebody actually wants to read. So I hope you can see there are lots and lots and lots of things that you can do with the knowledge that's up in your head. And remember, what's in your head you might think is nothing out of the ordinary. It's like, this is, everyday normal stuff for you, but for our clients, it's revolutionary. It's life-changing. It's, you know, the answer they've been looking for. And sometimes they might have heard it before, but hearing it again from the right person at the right time, in the right tone of voice, and in the right way. You know, some people work better with hands-on learning. Some people work better listening. Some people, you know, have a preference for reading. So, you know, if you can deliver that same content in all those different forms, you're going to have more of an impact with people. They're going to hear it again and again and again from you. They're going to say, yeah, she always says that. I'm better give it a try. She, you know, she really knows what she's talking about. And she's, you know, if you think of the well-known organisers on TV, like Peter Walsh, for instance, he says the same things over and over again with passion, and because they're true, because they work, and it resonates with people. So I'm going to tell you the second code word, and the code word is rash. I want you to be all over everywhere like a rash. Any questions on that subject?
No.
No? Anyone else? No? Okay. All right. Now, you've written the content, or you've done your brain dump first, you've written it, you've thought about a few ways to repurpose it. Leveraging is, I guess, repurposing the same material so that, you know, it's delivered in different formats, but it's the same stuff. And now you wonder how on earth you're going to get it out there. What are you going to do to get it out? Well, that's really the missing link. So I would ask you a couple of questions. One is, where do you hang out? Where do you go naturally, normally? Because we're busy in business. We haven't got time to learn a whole new thing, which is why I'm not on Instagram. I've chosen my couple of social media things that I myself use, so that's where I'm going to hang out. I'm going to just hang out on the Facebook and Pinterest, and the rest I'm going to have to leave for another lifetime. So where else do you hang out? If you're comfortable with writing, delivering workshops and that kind of thing, do that first. And then when you've got more leverage, more time freed up because your leveraging is working, you can expand into the other things. The other question to ask is, where do your clients hang out? Because as much as I like to be on Pinterest and Facebook, it wouldn't work for me unless my clients were also on Pinterest and Facebook. Happily, that's where I have found some clients, so I know that they're there. So have a think about, where are your clients? Are they, you know, nowadays fewer and fewer people are reading the broadsheet newspaper. So, you know, you're not going to start advertising or writing content in a dying medium. You've got to be where your people are. So if they're hanging out in coffee shops reading the local paper or a glossy magazine rather than, you know, the newspaper or the Weekly Times or whatever, then make sure you're there. If your typical client is into, you know, is comfortable with technology, go for the technology. Now, you've got your own sources. You've got things that you have control over that you could share your content on, things like your social media, your newsletters, your own blog, your own presentations. Of course, you can get those out all by yourself. Other sources, you're going to need some help. For instance, I write for Organised Home and Life magazine, and so does Debbie Buckley, who's an APO, She's APO member, yes, but she's also an EDGE member. And so I'm sure Debbie would say the same. I would recommend you have a look at Organised Home and Life magazine and have a think about contributing, because I promise you I spend less than 2 hours a month either writing new content, which I then repurpose in other ways, and so on, or I take something I've already written and I repurpose it for that magazine. Now, Organised Home and Life magazine is a digital magazine, and the editor and owner of it is Narelle Todd, the current APO president. So I'm going to include a link when I send out this recording. I'll include a link so that you can have a look around and get the idea and have a think about contributing. Doesn't have to be a big article, I can't speak for Narelle, but speak to Narelle or write to her and find out what is she looking for. Is there a theme that she's looking at for coming issues, and how can you use some of your content to get out there into the organising world in that way? Now, why would you? Now, I'm pretty sure because it's a digital magazine, the readership is all over the world. I get direct benefits. Every month I see my stats go up, my social media numbers go up, my readership goes up on my blog, etc., because I'm in that magazine. But it's an online presence for me. It's, it's like just another cherry on top that really works for me. And if nothing else, it's a way for me to commit to writing content every month. Okay, so other ways to get your stuff out there. Now, there's other blogs to share your stuff on. Mine in particular, I would invite you, if you've written something that you have shared on your own blog, I'm very happy to share it on mine as well. I want to, support you. And to get your content out there as well, so let me know. And now APO has this fantastic new website, which is still working out some kinks today, but I'm sure it'll be fantastic in the future. And one of the benefits of this is that you can easily share your own blog posts on it. So that's really good news. And of course, there's even further abroad, go out to the media. Share your stuff freely with the media. You want to make sure that you're the one, like Christina Duke, she's now got a regular gig on Channel 9, and there's other organisers out there who are regularly in Home Beautiful magazine. Why not? Give it a go. Journalists, whether it's print media or TV or radio, they all want more content. People are hungry for it, and if you can make their life easy by already having something prepared for them, go ahead, give it a go. They'll love you for it. Now, also, what about other people's newsletters? If you've got colleagues in business, friends who run their own business, ask if you could share some of your content in their newsletters. Somebody who is a financial planner needs some, something to send out to their clients. Why not, how to organise your papers for tax or whatever. So think about all those avenues, the content that's already written. You want to leverage it so that that bit of work goes far and wide, spreading the word about who you are, what you do, how well you do it, and so on. Okay, any questions?
No.
No? Okay. The last thing I wanted to share with you is just a few resources. And again, I will send you links to these as well when I send out the recording. Because it can be hard to know how to even get started. I mentioned before about the brain dump to get all your ideas into one place. I, as well as that, if I see some interesting article in a magazine that I think I could get some ideas from. I tear that out and I've got a little file happening of ideas. And if ever I need some ideas or an inspiration, I go there and it inspires me in lots of ways. But and again, the 260 organising blog topics in the Edge is another resource. But there's a couple of podcasts that I would encourage you to listen to. One of them is by ProBlogger, and he talks about how to create your blog content calendar. Now, he talks about blogs because that's what his his main thing is, but this content calendar doesn't apply just to blogs. It could be for anything. One thing that I have seen work for people is to have a topic each month. So maybe it's bathrooms 1 month and then, you know, the laundry the next month and perhaps your car or time management or something like that. Having a theme like that can sometimes focus you a little easier so that you've got actually some guidance about what ideas can come. Sometimes when there's too much choice, it's hard to make the choice. And the other podcast that I'd recommend is a public speaker. It's a podcast called Quick and Dirty Tips for Public Speaking. And this particular episode is 14 Steps to Become a Motivational Speaker. Now, even if you don't want to do any speaking, that one has got some really good ideas about how to use that experience of getting your content out there, in this case by speaking, how to use that to your benefit. So you might have heard me speak before about when you've got your audience, you've then got to use that, you know, the database that that creates. So that's a whole other thing of leveraging. You want to make sure that whatever you're doing, you are leveraging that experience for people. So if they are reading an article in a magazine, you want to make sure they know who you are and what your website is. In most cases, you will just try to draw people to your website. If you've got people coming to your website, that's where you can then get them to, you know, read your blog, read about your organising service, and so on. So if you make sure that all of these things draw attention to where you want people to go. And, of course, I mentioned the Organised Home and Life magazine. So I'll send you those links and make sure you get that info. And I really hope that you will be inspired to not only write the content but then share it, develop it into more and more and more. And, of course, as you get more content, it becomes easier. And, in fact, you'll probably get to the stage where there's so much content you don't know what to do with it all. And you have to start picking out the ones that are actually, you know, the best ones so that you can create the best content and the best products and services. So that brings me to the third code word, and then I'm going to ask for more questions and tell you about the next teleclass. So the third code word is flood. I want you to flood all of the country with your wisdom and your content. Flood. Okay. So, as I said, any questions about anything to do with leveraging your content? No?
No.
Okay. I will tell you now what to do with your code words and then what to expect next time. What to do is, as always, email your three code words to angela@creatingorder.com.au and I will send you a certificate that you can use towards your APO accreditation, which is such a wonderful opportunity for people to show their expertise, to you know, to really show the world that they're an organizer with some background and experience. Okay, so that's what you do with your code words. The next teleclass on March the 22nd is organizing small spaces. So this is a little different. So we often talk about marketing and we talk about, you know, other business type of things, but this is purely skills based. I have myself organized my own small space, my own apartment, but we'll be talking about organizing small spaces for people like downsizing clients, people who are living in inner city apartments, people like students living in, you know, a student accommodation or share houses, and really making the best of small spaces. That's something that is starting to happen more and more now, and especially as we get the, well, obviously property's getting so expensive, people are thinking about